الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to EDARS.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. وبعد، respected listeners, dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, carrying on with our daily discourse and our daily studying of this book, Min Adab al-Islam, from the manners of Islam, authored by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah. We continue inshallah with the next point today, swiftly and quickly, because we do not have much time, as iftar time is now getting shorter and shorter. If you remember, brothers and sisters, that yesterday we discussed a very important etiquette, a very important adab, which the Sheikh, the author of this book, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, explained. And actually we started the whole section, and the section is about the manners of visiting. The manners, the etiquettes, the adab, the rules, the regulations of visiting someone, going to somebody's house, going to visit somebody, whether it's your friends, whether it's your relatives, whether it's your cousins, whether whoever it may be. So this is a whole section, the manners of visiting. And we talked about, if you remember, ensuring that we take an appointment or inform those whom we want to visit beforehand, if we can. And I also talked about ensuring not to break one's promise, maintaining and keeping appointments, how important it is in Islam, and going against one's promise, how grave and how great a sin that is. So we talked about that. And then the Sheikh explained in that etiquette yesterday that when you go to somebody's house and the host, the in Arabic we say al-mazur, the host excuses himself or herself and discloses and tells us that, look, you know, I'm busy, please excuse me, and the host excuses himself, then the visitor should gracefully, wholeheartedly accept his apology and not force himself into the host's house. This was something that was discussed yesterday. Now we move on to the next point in the same section of the manners of visiting. The Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah, he says, in the next point, which inshallah we'll read first the Arabic text of the book that I have in front of me, and then inshallah, as normally we what we do, translate it and then explain it inshallah. The Sheikh says, عندما تستأذن على بيت غيرك لتدخل إليه حافظ على بصرك من أن يقع على داخل الدار أو عورة فيها فإن ذلك عيب وإساءة. روى أبو داود والطبراني عن سعد بن عبادة رضي الله عنه قال جاء رجل فقام على باب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يستأذن مستقبل الباب، فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هكذا عنك، يعني نحاه وأمره بالتباعد قليلا عن مواجهة فتحة الباب، ثم قال له فإنما الاستئذان من أجل النظر. What the Sheikh is saying here, he says, look, when you go to somebody's house and when you take permission, تستأذنوا, when you take permission to enter somebody else's house, okay, then the etiquette, the adab is to ensure that حافظ, that you make sure you guard your eyesight, guard your eyes. From what? From falling and setting on the interior of that person's house or something that is supposed to be hidden in the house. Subhanallah, brothers and sisters, this is an amazing etiquette, an amazing rule, command. If you remember, previously we discussed just briefly that when you knock on somebody's door, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, well, there's a hadith of Sunan Abu Dawud that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to come to somebody's house, he never used to face the door directly. Rather, he used to stand on the slightly on the right or slightly on the left. Okay, this was mentioned. And that was just very briefly mentioned, that when you knock on somebody's door, make sure you don't stand directly in front of the face of the door, towards the right slightly or towards the left. So this is connected to that point, which is that when we, the manners of visiting, when we visit, yesterday we said that, look, if you knock on somebody's door, they tell us go, then we should wholeheartedly, gracefully just go and return and don't take it to heart. Another point about visiting is that this, when we knock on somebody's door, and when we are standing next to their door, it's important to control one's eyes. This whole rule and this whole etiquette is regarding controlling one's eyes. Okay? We must ensure that we control our eyes. حافظ على بصريك, guard your eyes from falling into something, from your eyes seeing something that is not supposed to be seen, something inside of the house. Meaning at the door, make sure that you don't look into the house. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَيْبٌ وَإِسَاءَةٌ. The Sheikh says, because this is evil, this is عَيْب, it's a defect, it's shameful, and it's evil act. It's shameful and it's an evil act. It harms other people. Again, brothers and sisters, this goes back to the whole concept of privacy. I've mentioned this many a time. Islam emphasizes the importance of respecting people's privacies in great depth. And many laws, many commands, many guidances given to us by Sharia, and many ahkam and rules in the Quran and Sunnah point to this fact. Respect people's privacies. Don't become too nosy. Okay, so this is what the Sheikh is saying here, that look, make sure when you go to somebody's house, look down, stand on the right, stand on the left, keep your gazes low, ensure that you don't see something inside of the house, because that is haram, it's sinful. And then he quotes a hadith, he says, Imam Abu Dawood and Imam al-Tabrani both relate from the companion Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu, who says, a man came and stood on the door of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Stood right directly facing the door of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeking permission. يستأذن مستقبل الباب. Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him and he said to him, هكذا عنك, meaning move slightly, move. Don't stand right in front of my door to teach him a lesson. Seriously, some people, they stand right in front of your door. So you have to tell them, look, brothers, you know, sometimes people on the opposite side of your house, they just stand there and just, when the doors open, they look inside. They can literally see directly what's happening in the kitchen. They could be women there, not covered properly and appropriately. They could be people there, you know, the aura, the nakedness of the body of the woman may be exposed. And there are people standing around. And the worst is people standing just outside the doorstep of other people, just standing there. Okay, if it's a few seconds, 30 seconds, you just met somebody on the middle of the road and you're talking to him. But for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, just standing around, and especially, brothers and sisters, I'm very unfortunate that I have to say this, but especially when those who live close to the masjids, I have so much pity on them, because it's so difficult for them sometimes. Seriously. It's so difficult, especially if you want to live right across the entrance of the masjid. Subhanallah, it's going to be difficult. And I know this one person said, I could never live in right directly in front of the masjid. I mean, you would really want to live there. But because what people do, after Salatul Jumu'ah, people will come and sit on your doorstep. Seriously, people will lean against your window and lean against your door and start smoking there and chatting away. It's haram, brothers and sisters, you are harming people. It's sinful, it's unlawful, it's against the teachings of Islam. It's not permitted. After Salatul Jumu'ah, after Taraweeh, people just, you know, hanging around right next to the doors of people, sitting on people's doorsteps. It's not your doorstep, it's somebody else's property. Have you taken permission? Have you taken permission to stand right next to somebody's door and just, there might be, people want to go in, people want to go out. They find it so difficult. Women, you know, for our sisters to come out of the house, they feel intimidated because there's like 20 men just standing right outside the door, chatting away and smoking away. Go home if you want to have some kind of a majlis, some kind of a session, alhamdulillah, no problem. Go home, relax, go and have some cup of coffee or whatever, but somebody's house, not on the door and in the middle of the road. And sometimes people are actually nosy. I mean, that's bad in itself, standing around, because others are intimidated and shy. But some people are actually very nosy. They stand around, hang around on street corners, outside the masjids, trying to see what's happening, who's doing what, who's entering whose house. Subhanallah. And it happens in some cities more than... I'm talking about in a general sense. Okay, I'm talking about this in a general sense. I am not saying specifically about a particular area or a particular masjid or a particular city or a particular country. Maybe more so in England, but I am talking about it in a general sense. In some cities this happens more. People just hang around on street corners and they want to look at the passing car. Anybody's driving past, everybody's staring, who's in that car and who's come? Oh, I haven't seen him before, he's probably somebody who's... Don't be too nosy. It's somebody just driving by. Seriously, people want to know who's sitting in the car. When did he buy this car? How comes he's driving another car today? Wow. Just mind your own business. You know, why are you so nosy? Seriously. It's a problem. Looking around, who's entering in whose house? Who's coming to visit you? Oh, you know, that person came to visit you. And then when you're looking around, standing, staring at people's houses, the doors open, you could see something which you're not supposed to see. And this is what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this person. He said, look, move this way. Meaning he turned him slightly, he ordered him to move further from facing the door. He ordered him, this man who came to the door of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, standing right directly in front of his door. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, move slightly far. Don't face the door. He moved him further from facing the opening of the door. And then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and brothers and sisters, this is the most important part of the hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِنَّمَا الْإِسْتِئِذَانُ مِنْ أَجْلِ النَّظَرِ إِنَّمَا الْإِسْتِئِذَانُ مِنْ أَجْلِ النَّظَرِ The whole reason why seeking permission to enter somebody's house has been made compulsory is due to the reason, or it's for the sake, min ajli, for the sake of your sight. That's a literal translation. What did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? The reason for seeking permission is for the sake of your sight. What the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our beloved Habibullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he's saying here, he's saying that, look, the whole reason why Islam orders us to knock on somebody's door and ask permission before entering the house, which the Quran has clearly mentioned, لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا وتسلموا على أهلها. The whole concept or the reason and the wisdom behind The reason behind seeking permission and knocking on somebody's door is that you don't see something which you are not supposed to see. That's the whole reason. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining to us, brothers and sisters, that why do you have to knock on somebody's door? Why do you have to ask permission? Why do you need to seek permission before entering the house? Why don't you just walk in if the door's open? It's for the fact that you do not see with your eyes something which you are not supposed to see. You don't see somebody in an inappropriate state. You don't see somebody half uncovered. You don't see somebody naked. You don't see something in the house which is private. Okay? You don't see someone in a situation that they don't want you to see them. It's only because of the reason, and it's for the sake of intrusion and for the sake of your sight. That's the whole reason. So now what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining, that look, if you are outside the door, you are knocking on somebody's door, and the whole reason, the wisdom behind knocking was so that you don't see inside the house, But if you are already looking inside the house from outside the house when you are knocking, then what's the reason for knocking? What's the fa'idah? What's the benefit? Why are you knocking for anyway now? Because the whole reason why you were asking permission was so that you don't go see anything inside the house. But now you've already seen something inside the house. So now there's no reason to knock. You've already committed that which you are not supposed to do. You've already committed a major sin. If you've looked through the letterbox, which I talked about the other day, peeping Tom, you became a peeping Tom, and you went, you knocked twice, and then you looked through the letterbox, it's haram. You know, there's a hadith coming. And some people might think this is, you know, like petty issue. SubhanAllah, brothers and sisters, there's nothing petty in Islam. Do we need to talk about this? Yes, we do. Why? Because simple fact. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about it, so we talk about it. Okay? It might seem basic, it might seem petty, but in Islam there's nothing petty. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to clean ourselves when we go to the toilet. He said how much water we should use, how many times we should wash our private parts, how we should, men, how they do istibra, how they remove drops of urine from the system, how we do ghusl. There's no religion that teaches all of this. Only Islam teaches this. And we are proud of this fact. If somebody thinks it's petty, then that's their problem. It's not petty. These are basic issues that are taught. Islam is a unique way of life that teaches us everything, okay? Do people do that? Whether they do it or not, we just have to learn. Okay, we if we are not doing these kind of things, then alhamdulillah, you know, we can preach to other people. But we need to learn. So, as I was saying, it's wrong and haram to peep into somebody's letterbox. Okay, it's haram because you have already seen something which you are not supposed to see. So, and looking through the window, as I said, sometimes people, you know, go to the window, put their hands there, trying to see, is anybody in? Not permissible. You've committed a major haram act, brother and sister. You know, there's a hadith. Well, there's a couple of hadith that's coming. I'll mention them when we come to it. So anyway, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say here? He said, look, إِنَّمَا الْإِسْتِئْذَانُ مِنْ أَجْلِ النَّظَرِ. Seeking permission to enter somebody's house was made necessary for the sake of not seeing something inside the house. Okay, so that you don't see people's private matters, you don't see people's private affairs, you don't see people in inappropriate states. Then the Sheikh says, وروى البخاري في الأدب المفرد عن ثوبان رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحل لامرئ أن ينظر إلى جوف بيت حتى يستأذن فإن فعل فقد دخل أي إن نظر قبل أن يستأذن صار في حكم الداخل بلا استئذان وهو محرم عليه. This is the actual point that we want to really mention. Imam al-Bukhari رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, relates a hadith in his famous Al-Adab al-Mufrad from the companion Thawban رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, who says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen to the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carefully, dear brothers and sisters, لا يحل لإمرئين أن ينظر إلى جوف بيت حتى يستأذن. It is not permissible for an individual. It is not permissible for an individual to look into the inner part or look towards the inside of somebody's house until you seek permission. This is a clear hadith. Imam al-Bukhari relating this hadith in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? What does he say? He says, it is not halal, la yahillu, meaning it is unlawful. When it's not halal, it means it's haram. It is unlawful, it is prohibited, it is haram for an individual to look, ayyandura, to look, this is a translation of the hadith, to look to the inner part, jawf means inside, inner part of somebody's house until they seek permission. It is not permissible for me or you, brothers and sisters, to see inside somebody's house until we do not ask permission from them. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, subhanallah, what does it say? فَإِن فَعْلَ فَقَدْ دَخَلْ. If somebody actually does look inside of somebody's house, then he has already entered. He has already entered. What does that mean? Connect this to the previous hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the only reason why seeking permission was made necessary or has been made necessary is that we don't see something inside of the house. Now, if somebody's already seen something inside of the house before knocking or before seeking permission or before given permission to enter, then this person has actually entered already. You might be physically outside, but your eyes are inside. You might be physically outside of the house, but your eyes are inside. In other words, what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, that look, you know, part of you has entered, you have entered, and the main part of you has entered the house. If somebody was to go to somebody's house and was knocking and then opened the letterbox and looked inside, and as far as your eyes have gone, as far as what you've seen, it is as though, according to Islam, you have already entered that much of the house. If you looked through the letterbox and you saw the living room, for example, it is as though you have committed a sin, according to this hadith, it is as though you have already gone into the living room with your eyes, and it's like you've already gone without seeking permission. You've committed a crime, a sin, an unlawful act of entering somebody's living room without asking permission and without them giving you permission. It's literally that, even though you think you're outside of the house. But because you've looked through the letterbox, you've committed this major haram. If you've looked through the window and you've seen the front room, okay, it's as though you've gone into the front room without them giving you permission. Seriously, this is how serious this is. This is a hadith. فَإِن فَعْلَ فَقَدْ دَخَلْ. And the Shaykh explains that, meaning that if this person was to see inside the house before he took permission, he will become a person, he will be in the hukam of the one, he will be in the same category of the one who's entered without permission, which is haram for him to do so. So the one who looks inside the house, through the letterbox or whatever, through the front door, okay, is as though he's entered the house without permission, which is absolutely categorically forbidden and haram. See how serious this is, brothers and sisters. How serious it is to look inside people's houses without being given permission. It's completely haram. Okay? And as I was saying, and I've said this on many a time, that look, Islam generally doesn't like us to be too nosy. And as I said, you know, people standing around, seriously, it's a big problem. I feel very strong about this, but I really urge our brothers that please, you know, if you do want to, like, gather around and stand around and talk around, then go into a park or go into a public place or go somewhere and stand there or talk, sit down there and have your chat down there, or go to like a, you know, coffee place or something, relax, you know, chill. But don't stand around in the middle of the road in the streets. Especially, there's two things here. One is you will be harming the neighbors, okay, especially if there are non-Muslims living there. Not everybody is a Muslim, not everybody is waking up for suhoora, not everybody is offering tarawih prayer. Okay, not everybody is, we don't live in a Muslim country. There are non-Muslims, we live in a multicultural society, we live in a place where there's all different types of people. We have to respect everybody. Would we like it if you know, for example, just suddenly the Hindus or the Sikhs started celebrating something and you were living and in your street and in your road, you know, every night for like 30 days they are just hanging around and talking around and driving cars fast, and would we like it? We wouldn't like it, right? So they wouldn't like it as well. We have to respect everybody. We have to ensure that we don't do anything that harms people. So, at the time of Taraweeh as well, ensure that we come quietly, we do our ibadah, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and quietly go away home. If you want to meet friends, okay, arrange that. You come to my house, or go to your house, arrange somewhere, but don't please hang around outside the streets, outside the masjid, in the streets. Please don't hang around. I'm talking about the elders here, I'm not talking about the young people. The young people, that's another problem, you know, that I think they were discussing earlier on the radio. Anyway, that's a whole new problem. But my address is to even the parents, the elders, that after Taraweeh, please do not, for the sake of Allah, stand around on the streets and disturb people. And not just after Taraweeh, after any Salah, even after Jumu'ah prayer. After Jumu'ah prayer, we come for Salatul Jumu'ah, after that, nicely, you know, quickly just go away, we should go home, go somewhere else and talk. don't loiter around, because it puts people into difficulty, into harm, and then people, you know, are inconvenienced. And as I was saying, people living in that street, even Muslims living in there, you are standing around near the front door of so many people. After Jumu'ah, I know there was this brother who actually mentioned this to me, that every Jumu'ah I have a big problem, because my house is very close to a masjid. It's not in the city, in another city, by the way, but my house is very close to a masjid. And every day after Jumu'ah, for half an hour, if I need to go inside the house or come out of the house, or the women folk of the house, they need to go out or come in, it's difficult, because there's like 15 men standing near my front door. Sometimes I just think it's their own house, and they sit down on the doorstep. Seriously. And they start just chatting away, smoking away, doing all sorts of things there. This is not right. It's absolutely... all the reward, thawab of your Jumu'ah prayer has gone down the drain. You rather stayed at home and prayed your dhuhr than come to the masjid and pray Jumu'ah. Seriously, because it's a major sin. It's more great sin to harm someone than not pray Jumu'ah and pray your dhuhr at home. Seriously. And this is in accordance with the teachings of Islam. We think, you know, that when we come for all this ibadah and Jumu'ah, we think we are doing Allah a favor, so we can do anything. It's not like that, brothers and sisters. In Islam, not harming other people has been given more importance. حقوق العباد مقدم على حقوق الله تعالى. The rights of the servants of Allah come before the rights of Allah Himself. Ensuring not harming someone is more important than even praying your Taraweeh prayer. Seriously, that's how important it is in Islam. Islam places a lot of emphasis on حقوق العباد, on the rights of the servants of Allah. We have to ensure we don't do things that harm people. We have to ensure we don't do things that harm people. So, you know, we should just generally, you know, not as I was saying, you know, please don't, you know, just stand around on people's houses in near the front door. Because then sometimes we see things. You know, sometimes we stand around and then the front door opens. And we'll see something inside the house. Your eyes will go into the women of the house inside. And actually, for the people whose house it is, it's recommended that they should have a curtain or something after the front door. It's greatly recommended. For those of you who don't, especially if you're living in those kind of places where people just stand around outside your house, then it's recommended, you know, greatly recommended, that you have your front door, and then after that, after a distance, you know, if you can have some kind of a curtain, a veil, right, which will be quite helpful for you. So sometimes, you know, by mistake, if the door is left open, or if the door is flung open, if the door opens and somebody is standing right in your face in front of you, okay, then at least the curtain or the veil at the back will hide whatever's in the inner part of your house. Like, and if you've got two doors, then alhamdulillah, you don't need the curtain. Some people have a house, like you have the front door, then you've got the shoe area, and then you've got another door. You know, so then you should be okay, because if the front door is open, then the second door will be inshallah closed at least. So there's less possibility, and especially if you don't have like a straight house, so then it's okay, no problem. Then you're lucky and fortunate. But those people who live in a house where you can see front door and then there's no other door, it's like the second door is for the living room, and then you can go straight directly to the kitchen. It's very, very, very serious for them, and people should respect their wishes. So, you know, the summary is that please, for the sake of Allah, you know, don't stand around and hang around in the corners of the streets. Don't stand around next to people's houses. Don't stand around near the doors of people. Don't stand in the front of somebody's door. Don't look inside. Keep your gaze low. These are the etiquettes of Islam, and this is the guidance which Islam gives. And we move on, inshallah, with this point. We will take a break, but I am going to, inshallah, just read these next two hadiths, and then we'll take a break, inshallah, to finish off this point. The Shaykh then carries on to explain. He says, look, وَرَوَى الْبُخَارِيُّ أَيْضًا فِي الْأَدَبِ الْمُفْرَدِ وَأَبُو دَاوُودِ وَالْتِرْمِذِي عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا دَخَلَ الْبَصَرُ فَلَا إِذْنَ لَهُ. Imam al-Bukhari also relates in his book Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and Imam Abu Dawood and Imam al-Tirmidhi from the companion Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the eyesight has entered, then there is no permission for that person. What the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, that look, if you've already, your eyesight, your sight has already entered that person's house, if you've already seen something inside that house, you've come to visit someone, you're knocking on the door, and you've already looked inside the house, then There is no permission. There is no seeking permission, because now you've actually gone inside the house. You've already gone inside the house without permission. And another meaning of this hadith, which some of the ulama have mentioned, is that permission should be denied. فَلَا إِذْنَ لَهُ. Do not give this person permission. If somebody stands next to your door, somebody comes and looks already inside your house, then don't give that person permission. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, deny him permission, don't give him permission, don't let him come into the house. Because he's already come in without your permission, because he's looked inside your house. وَرَوَى الْبُخَارِيُّ أَيْضًا فِيهِ عَنْ عَمَّارِ بْنِ سَعِيدِ التُّجِيبِ قال قال عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه من ملأ عينه من قاعة بيت أو ساحته وداخله قبل أن يؤذن له فقد فسق. Imam al-Bukhari radiallahu anhu also relates, these are all reports in his famous Al-Adab al-Mufrad, also relates again in the same book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Okay, these all reports are in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. From Ammar bin Sa'id al-Tujibi, who says that Sayyiduna Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, said, so this is a statement of a Sahabi, a companion, the famous second Khalifa of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab. What did Sayyiduna Umar say? Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu said, whoever fills his eyes with the interior part of somebody's house, أي ساحته وداخله, inner part of somebody's house, before he is given permission to enter, فَقَدْ فَسَقَ, indeed he is a fasiq. Allahu Akbar. What does Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu say? If somebody fills his eyes, somebody looks at the inner part of somebody's house before permission is given to him to enter the house, then this person's a fasiq. You know what a fasiq is? Fasiq is a sinner. We have a fasiq, fasiqa, fisq. Fisq is a sinful act. So Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab said this individual is a fasiq. وروى البخاري ومسلم وغيرهما عن سهل بن سعد رضي الله عنه قال اطلع رجل من جحر أي ثقب أو خرق في حجر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مدرا يحك به رأسه فلما رآه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لو أعلم أنك تنظر لطعنت به في عينك إنما جعل الاستئذان من أجل البصر. This is the final hadith here, and then inshallah will end. Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, both of them relate from Sahl ibn Sa'd. This is a hadith where in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari and in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, from Sahl ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, who says, listen to this carefully, brothers and sisters. A man peeped. اطلع رجل. A man peeped. He's a peeping Tom. He peeped in the hole, min hujrin, from a hole, a thaqab or khurq, which both are words for, you know, like a hole. A man peeped from a hole into the room of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, there was a hole, so he looked through it to see into the house of the Messenger, into the room of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inside his house. He had a midran. Midran is like a stick. It's called a pitchfork, with which he was scratching his head. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a pitchfork, a stick made out of wood, okay, with which, you know, they used to use that to scratch his head. So he was using it to scratch his head. He was sitting in his house, in his room, and this man, you know, from a hole looked into the room of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at what happened after that. فَلَمَّا رَآهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ قَالَ When the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم saw him peeping through the hole, you know what he said? This is the Messenger of Allah. This is the رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. This is the mercy to mankind. This is someone who was extremely merciful. Listen what he said. Do you want to know what he said? This hadith is severe, brothers and sisters. It's severe. You know what he said? He said, لو أعلم أنك تنظر لطعنت به في عينك. Had I known that you were looking and peeping through that hole, I would have poked your eyes out. Subhanallah. Who's saying this? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not a fabricated report. This is the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, had I known that you were looking and peeping through this hole, I would have poked your eyes with it, with this thing that I'm using. لَتَعَنْتُ بِهِ. You know, this pitchfork and scratching my head with it, I would have used it and poked it in your eyes. Because you're committing a haram, looking into somebody's house. And then he said, the only reason why seeking permission has been made necessary in Islam is because of the eyes. So you don't see something inside somebody's house. SubhanAllah. So it's a very, very strong warning. So anyway, we come to the end of this adab, inshallah, which is that we ensure we keep our, we guard our eyesight, we look down, we should always look down, and we make sure that we do not see anything private into the house of people. We make sure we are not nosy, we do not stand around near the doors of people's houses, and we don't become nosy, we look down and we mind our own business. This is the whole summary of this etiquette, inshallah. After the break, we'll move on to the next etiquette. We don't have too much time, about 15 odd minutes, but it's a very short etiquette, so we'll come back for that, inshallah, after the break. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, dear listeners, inshallah. Moving on quickly to the next point, the next etiquette and the next adab of this book, which is again related to this whole issue of visiting people. These are all manners of visiting. So we talked about previously about when we visit someone, when we are told go, when the host excuses himself, then we should accept his apology. And just before the break, we talked about making sure that when we visit someone, we safeguard and control our eyes. Now, once we've been given the permission, we've knocked on the door, we've learned how to knock on the door, and we've been given permission, we've gone inside the house. Now, the next few rules and etiquettes and laws and commands are regarding once we've gone inside the house. First thing, when you go into the house, what do you do? That's why the first etiquette is about the first practice that we need to do once we go into the house. What do we do when we go into the house? First of all, what do we do? As soon as we enter, what do? I can't listen to your answer, of course, but what do? We have to remove our shoes. So this adab, the next etiquette and adab, is regarding removing our shoes, okay? How we should remove our shoes and how we should place them. So the Sheikh, author of this book, rahimahullah, he says, let me read the Arabic text and then inshallah, as usual, we will translate it and explain it. He says, عندما تزور بيت أخيك أو تدخل بيتك كن لطيفا في مدخلك ومخرجك غاضا طرفك وصوتك واخلع حذاءك في محله وصفا عليك أثناء خلعهما ولا تدعهما هكذا وهكذا ولا تنسى آداب لبس الحذاء وخلعه تلبس اليمنى أولا وتخلع اليسرى أولا قال سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا انتعل أحدكم فليبدأ باليمين وإذا انتزع فليبدأ بالشمال ولتكن اليمنى أولهما تنعل وآخرهما تنزع رواه مسلم وغيره. The Sheikh عبد الفتاح أبو غدة رحمه الله says, when you visit your brother's house, meaning your Muslim brother or your Muslim sister, anybody's house, or even, he's then in brackets, he says, even if you're entering your own house, this adab is related to even when you enter your own house, but specifically, more important, when you enter your own house. This is actually a mustahab adab. As I mentioned previously before as well, that the points discussed in this particular booklet, some of them are like obligatory, some of them are like necessary, some are wajib, some are mustahab. So this particular point about the shoes, how you should place them, it's a mustahab, recommended act, recommended etiquette and adab. So the Sheikh says, when you enter your house, be gentle in your entering and in your exiting. We've talked about being gentle, making sure about the door, we open the door gently. That's been discussed and covered. غاضًا طرفك وصوتك. You know, keeping your sight and your eyesight and your voice low. Keeping your sight, we've just talked about that, making sure that we guard and control our eyes and keep our sight low. But this is more important. Once we've even entered, we should try to keep our sight low. You know, when you enter somebody's house, what the Sheikh is saying here, that even after they've asked, okay, come in, inshallah, come in, no problem. You go inside, then don't start looking, you know, up. Don't start staring at the roof. When you go to somebody's house, don't start looking upstairs. What's happening? What? You know, some people have the front door and then they've got stairs to go upstairs. So don't start looking on the stairs. Okay? Keep your eyes low. That's the adab. When you enter somebody's house, you look down. You don't look here and there, right, left and above. You look down. Okay? Keep your voice low. You don't shout and come into somebody's house. You don't enter somebody's property and house by raising your voice. Rather, the Sheikh is saying here, keep your eyes low, sight low, as well as your voice low. And then remove your shoes. وَخْلَعْ حِذَاءَكَ. Remove your shoes فِي مَحَلِّهِ, in its appropriate place. Don't remove your shoes anywhere and everywhere. Don't put your right shoe in the east and the left in the west. Okay? Rather, remove your shoes appropriately. Remove them and put them in their mahal, in their place. If there's a shoe rack there, put your shoes in the shoe rack. If you have to put them on the floor, then nicely in a corner. You know, you remove your shoes in a corner. When you go to somebody's house, nicely, you know, put your shoes, remove your shoes appropriately. وَصُفَّنَ عَلَيْكَ. And put your slippers, place your slippers in an orderly fashion. In a nice order, when you remove them in an orderly fashion. And don't leave them just like this and like that. هَكَذَا وَهَكَذَا. This is what the Sheikh is saying. So this is an etiquette about removing your shoes. When you've entered the house, make sure you take off your shoes in a nice way. And then what do? You put them in a corner and put them in an orderly fashion, in an appropriate manner. And then the Sheikh says, and do not forget also the etiquettes of wearing your shoes and slippers and removing them. What is the sunnah way? Don't forget the sunnah manner and the sunnah way of removing your shoes and wearing your shoes. What is the sunnah way? The way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you wear the right, put on your right shoe on first. Okay, تَلْبَسُ الْيُمْنَ أَوَّلْ. And you remove, when taking off your shoes, then you take off the left shoe off first. We know that. And then he mentions the hadith. He says, قَالَ سَيِّدُنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The beloved messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, our master رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the hadith is famous, إِذَا انْتَعَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَبْدَأْ بِالْيَمِينَ. When one of you put your shoes on, then you should start with the right. وَإِذَا انْتَزَعَ فَلْيَبْدَأْ بِالشِّمَالِ. And when you remove your shoes, then start with your left foot. وَلْتَكُنِ الْيُمْنَ أَوَّلَهُمَا تُنْعَلُ وَآخِرَهُمَا تُنْزَعُ. Let your right foot be the first foot where you put on your shoes, and let it be the last one when the shoes are removed. This is the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, recorded by Imam Muslim in his Sahih and others. And in this point, finally, the Sheikh then says, وَقَبْلَ الدُّخُولِ إِلَى. This is actually very important. Listen to this carefully. وَقَبْلَ الدُّخُولِ إِلَى بَيْتِكَ أَوْ بَيْتِ أَخِيكَ أُنْظُرْ فِي نَعْلَيْكَ فَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ فِيهِمَا شَيْئًا مِنْ آثَارِ الطَّرِيقِ فَأَمِطْهُ عَنْهُمَا وَادْلُكْهُمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُنْزَاحَ عَنْهُمَا مَا عَلِقَ بِهِمَا فَإِنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينُ النَّظَافَةِ وَاللَّطَافَةِ. And before you enter the house, even your own house, and your house of your house of your brother or your friends or your relatives or whoever's house it may be, look into your shoes. Look at your shoes. Many of us overlook this. We forget about this. Look at your shoes. If you see in your shoes or in your slippers some dirt from the effect of the road that you've been walking on, you might have some mud on your shoes. It might be raining outside. You might have stepped on some dirt. You might have actually stepped on some rather filthy stuff. You might have stepped on some dung of an animal. We don't know. So this is what the Sheikh is saying, that be careful. Look at your shoes, especially when you're entering somebody's house. You don't want to enter somebody's house and dirty their carpet. You don't want to enter somebody's house and pollute the carpet with all the dirt that's on your shoes. So this is why Sheikh is saying here that, look, before entering the house, make sure you look at your shoes properly. If you see any dirt, any filth, any impurity, any najasa, anything dirty on your shoes, فَأَمِطْهُ عَنْهُمَا, remove the dirt from both your shoes, from your slippers. And brush your shoes, وَدُلُكْهُمَا, brush them, you know, scrape them, scrub them on against the ground. If you're outside the house, then scrape your shoes against the ground so that the dirt that is stuck to your shoes is removed and goes away. Because Islam is a religion of cleanliness, and Islam is a religion of courtesy, of gentleness, cleanliness and latafa, lutf, latif, latafa, gentleness and courtesy. We are caring and we are concerned about other people. This is what Islam teaches. Islam is a religion that teaches us to care about other people. We have to be concerned about not polluting somebody else's house because of our shoes. Okay, and so we need to do that. And if there's a lot of dirt, I mentioned, you know, brother and sister, that this is an, what kind of etiquette is this? It's like recommended, it's good to do, look at your shoes. But if we do have dirt, and if there's a lot of dirt in our shoes, then it becomes wajib to remove that dirt or that filth from our shoes, because that's harming them. If there's a lot of dirt, you've got a lot of mud stuck in your shoes, in your trainers, in your slippers, then it's necessary. It's wajib, it's necessary to clean it off before we go inside somebody's house, before we step foot into the house. Otherwise, it is haram and it is sinful. So this was an etiquette about shoes, and just generally when entering the door, looking down and keeping the voices low, and how to place our shoes. We move on quickly to the next etiquette. We do have just a very few minutes left, but I'll just start it off because time is short and we need to actually finish this book before the end of Ramadan. Once we've entered, we've taken off our shoes, we've taken off our shoes. Remember, these are all the adab, the etiquettes of what? Visiting. So we've taken off our shoes. We've put them, we've cleaned them. If there was some dirt, we've gone inside. We've put them in a nice, orderly fashion, alhamdulillah, in a nice way. In the corner, we've taken off our shoes. Now he says, brother says, come in, inshallah, come in. We've gone into the front room. Where do we sit? The next point, etiquette, is about choosing a seat. Sister, sit in. You know, the sister says to you, come in, welcome, inshallah. You know, where do we sit? Do we go straight up into the bedroom and go and sit into the bedroom? Okay, where do we sit? That's a question. And this point is about choosing a seat. Do we go inside the house and go straight into the toilet? So I'm using your toilet. Or do we go straight into the house and have a shower? Or do we go straight upstairs? Where do we go? Where do we sit? The Shaykh says, لَا تُنَازِعْ مُضِيفَكَ أَوْ أَخَاكَ فِي الْمَكَانِ الَّذِي يُجْلِسُكَ فِيهِ مِنْ مَنْزِلِهِ بَلْ لَا تَجْلِسْ إِلَّا حَيْثُ يُجْلِسُكَ فَلَعَلَّكَ إِنْ جَلَسْتَ كَمَا تُرِيدُ تَجْلِسُ إِلَى مَكَانٍ فِيهِ إِطْلَالٌ عَلَى عَوْرَةٍ مِنْ عَوْرَاتِ الدَّارِ أو فيه إحراج لساكنيها فعليك بامتثال ما يأمرك به مضيفك واقبل ما يكرمك به أيضا. He says, do not make your host feel uncomfortable. تنازع is actually a word, you know, like argumentation. So you're not really going to argue. But do not go against the wishes of your host. Mudif, you know, the one whose house you are visiting, don't go against their wishes. And your brother, regarding the place in which they make you sit in his house. So, you know, the host, the person whose house you've gone to, he tells you, sit, your brother, sit here. He said, no, I'll sit here. That's wrong, it's haram. First of all, many of the ulama have said, the etiquette is that we should not sit anywhere before they've told us where to sit. We go into the house, they say, come in this room. We stand. First we take off our shoes, we stand in the corridor. Come in the room. So we go into that room. Don't go and sit anywhere on the sofa. That's wrong. We go into the room, we stand. Until they tell us where to sit, we sit in the exact place where they tell us to sit. And if they're not telling us, then say, may I sit down? Where shall I sit? You ask them. Where shall I sit, brother? Where shall I sit, sister? Ask. That's the adab. Don't just go and sit anywhere and everywhere. And if he tells you, or if she tells you to sit in a particular place, then to say that, no, I'll sit somewhere else, that is absolutely haram. That's categorically forbidden. That's wrong. That's like inhumane, right? So this is what the Shaykh is saying here, that you don't argue with the person. Don't inconvenience the host. Sit where he tells you. Yeah? Sit where he tells you. Don't sit unless except in a place where he tells you to sit. Because what may happen, فَلَعَلَّكَ, if you sit as you like, as you wish, you want to go, you sit wherever you want to sit, you've not asked where to sit, you've just gone and sat somewhere where you want to sit, then you may sit in a place which is overlooking the private part of somebody's inner house. Or, yeah, so the Shaykh is saying here that you might sit in a place which is إِطْلَالٌ, overlooking private part. You might sit right next to, in a place which overlooks the kitchen. Okay, so that's why it's wrong. Don't sit where you want to sit. Rather, let the host tell you where to sit. Or there may be inconvenience to the residents of the house. Therefore, please, the Sheikh says, adhere to the command of your host. Wherever the host has told you to sit, sit there and accept that which he honors you with. So, ensure that do not sit anywhere where you like, but sit where the host has ordered you and commanded you to sit, inshallah. We end here because we literally have like a minute for iftar, and inshallah there's a few more things about this point, but inshallah we'll carry on tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Jazakallahu khair for listening. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.